This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The U.S. Supreme Court today hears arguments in a major disability rights case. The central provision of the Americans with Disabilities Act requires state and local governments to make public services and buildings accessible to the disabled. The law's key enforcement provision allows private individuals to bring damage suits against those governments if access is not made available. Recent Supreme Court decisions have cast doubt on the constitutionality of that enforcement provision. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Over the last decade, the Supreme Court has revived the doctrine of states' rights. In particular, the court just 3 years ago invalidated as unconstitutional a federal law that allowed citizen damage suits against states in cases of alleged employment discrimination based on disability. Today, the court hears a case involving a different section of the Americans with Disabilities Act, the provision that requires all state and local public services and buildings to be accessible to the disabled. Today's case comes from Tennessee and was brought by two people in wheelchairs, a court stenographer named Beverly Jones and an industrial baker named George Lane. Lane had to crawl up two flights of stairs to get to his arraignment on two misdemeanor traffic charges. He says that although the ordeal made him physically ill, two elected officials and a bunch of police officers watched and laughed at him. When he returned later in the day for a second hearing, he refused to crawl up the stairs and refused an offer to be carried.
I was scared, you know. These people was laughing and, you know, making remarks and, you know, I didn't feel safe.
When Lane didn't make it to the second floor courtroom, he was arrested and jailed for failure to appear. Beverly Jones, the court stenographer, says she is unable to be hired for roughly a third of the courtrooms in Tennessee because the courthouses are not wheelchair accessible. At first, she says, she did let others carry her.
I was younger and probably more tolerant of it than I am today. There were times when I was literally a spectacle.
It's not only stairways, she notes, but narrow bathroom doors that are obstacles. In one courthouse, she recalls, the judge, realizing that his trial could not resume until Jones, along with everyone else, had a bathroom break, took action himself.
The judge picks me up, and he took me in there, and he sat me down in the restroom.
Others have joined the suit, including a man who lost a landlord-tenant dispute because he couldn't get to the courtroom, a woman who labored for an hour to get up the stairs for a delinquency proceeding for her son, and a disabled Marine Corps vet who couldn't get his wheelchair into a county commission meeting where he had hoped to protest the fact that the polling place where he'd voted was not wheelchair accessible. George Lane says that his lawyer has found some 600 people in his county alone who are not able to access the courthouse.
I paid federal taxes, I paid, you know, land taxes, I paid sales taxes, and if I go into that courtroom or that courthouse to obtain a license tag, to pay my property taxes, I should be able to, you know, have access to that.
Tennessee Solicitor General Michael Moore says the state does not deny its duty to make courthouses and other public buildings accessible to the disabled, but he contends that Congress cannot, under the Constitution, authorize damage suits to enforce the federal disabilities law, and he maintains there is no real reason for the federal law.
No one can cite a case where anyone's constitutional rights at the courthouse have been denied as the result of an architectural barrier.
Moore says that George Lane could have let himself be carried, and indeed at a later time, says Moore, the state offered to try Lane at an accessible courthouse in another county, an offer Lane's lawyer rejected. Disabilities lawyers say that in some instances such an offer might suffice, but on the whole it would not, because it leaves so many people unable to use the courthouse, whether it be for serving on a jury, to swearing out a complaint, or even attending a trial with a loved one. And it's not just courthouses. Disabilities rights lawyers contend it's access to public schools, transportation, and a myriad other public services that, unlike employment, are provided only by state or local governments. In the case of the criminal justice system, they contend, the situation is even more extreme since attendance is mandatory. Bill Brown will represent George Lane and Beverly Jones in the Supreme Court today.
We're talking about fundamental rights of citizenship. Who would stand up in front of any public body and say that you could deny a man an opportunity to participate in his own trial?
Tennessee Solicitor General Michael Moore.
Certainly a criminal defendant, for example, has a right to be present at all critical stages of his trial. But that doesn't mean that he has the right to refuse assistance up the stairs.
Moore will tell the justices that under the court's recent rulings, Congress is without power to authorize damage suits against the states in cases involving the disabled as long as states are able to give some rational basis for not making public buildings and facilities fully accessible.
One rational basis would be budgetary constraints.
Retrofitting courthouses and other buildings, many of which are old, can cost considerable sums of money, Moore observes. He contends that the states, not the federal government, led the way in promoting accessibility for the disabled, and that Congress did not have any evidence that would justify authorizing damage suits against the states to enforce rights for the disabled.
The states were way out in front on this issue, and all the states, by the time Congress decided to get into the act, had for years laws which mandated that all new buildings be made handicapped accessible.
Disability rights lawyers counter that many states, like Tennessee, talked the talk but didn't walk the walk. Tennessee has for 34 years had an accessibility law on its books. But in our interview, Solicitor General Moore conceded that the state law has never been enforced. Today he will tell the Supreme Court that regardless, the federal law fails on many grounds.
Congress passed a law that imposes extra constitutional obligations on the states at all public buildings, at every single, at the state museum, at the state performing arts center, at every state rest area along the side of the road.
But disabilities rights lawyer Bill Brown counters that the state's own law was enacted in 1970 when much of the state highway system, for instance, was still under construction.
Today, the state of Tennessee wants to stand up and say, "Oh my goodness, you might make us do what we promised to do in 1970.
Finally, the state's Mr. Moore will tell the court that the best example of congressional disregard for the rights of the states is the fact that it treated the states more harshly than anyone else.
Under the Act, the only entities that are subject to the remedy of private money damages actions are state and local governments. And we believe that the record before Congress did not in any way support the proposition that disabled persons were subject to more discrimination at the hands of state and local governments than at the hands of private sector entities or the federal government.
Defending the disabilities law, Bush administration lawyers will tell the court today that when Congress enacted the ADA, it had before it figures showing that nationwide, 76% of the state-owned buildings that offered services for the general public were not usable by the disabled. Moreover, the administration will argue, the state and local governments have a virtual monopoly on the functions they provide. If you want to adopt a child or pass a new state or local law, there's no place else to get the job done. Thus, so the argument goes, the Constitution gives Congress the power to trump states' rights to ensure that those functions are available to historically marginalized populations like the disabled. A decision in the case is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Other stories on Americans with Disabilities are at npr.org.